Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and who are you? Today's show is all about how we radiate through our identity. What is our identity? And how is our identity created through other people's opinion of us, other people's judgment of us, other people's perceptions of us? It's a really fascinating subject. I remember one of my many curls of studies, because I've studied many, many metaphysical things, just like a lot of you. I spent about 4 years studying Christian Science, and their whole healing technique was looking at or perceiving or absolutely understanding the greater divinity in someone. So if somebody had I remember stories about, for example, a drinking problem or an emotional difficulty or even a financial difficulty, their thing is to always see that person in their potentiated form or always in their divinity form. So I'm kind of chuckling as I talk about this subject of how we get defensive or how we defend ourselves when people see us this way or that way, when people see us judgmentally, or people see us as fun, or people see us as powerful, or people see us as losers, or people see us, you know, it really has a huge impact on people. So I'm hoping that you're going to call in later and we're going to talk about releasing our attachments to the kinds of identities that either come at us or that also that we construct in response to the convention and what we think society wants from us, you know, how we rise into that. Because ultimately, and my today's paradigm shifter is Rowena Kreider, who's going to talk to you about this very subject, ultimately our souls and spirits rejoice when we get into our divine purpose, our soul's purpose, and really get attuned to who we are as opposed to following the impulses, directions, the conventional popularity that might come to us. Well, that doesn't mean that we don't get jobs and live in the community like that, because the convention itself has its own soul purpose. But it does mean that following the flow deep within, I used to say years ago, the divine pulse of your soul is like the grass that cracks the sidewalk. It comes through in spite of you. But this is kind of saying, well, the divine pulse of your soul, your creativity, your magic, your absolutely unique experience here on the planet is really it's a really gifted light that can come through us, and we can amplify its, or we can facilitate its journey quite well on the planet if we move aside some of the blocks that come through identifying ourselves with the opinions of other people. Anyway, let's start off. I love to start Radiance by Design with the sacred geometric, the sacred geometric meditation forms. So let's all do that together. Let's see. I'd like you to close your eyes and take a deep breath. And let's call in above your head, perhaps 2 to 3 miles, there's a golden ball. And below your spine, maybe 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop a golden filament of light from the upper golden ball through the spine and into the lower golden ball. Now, can you feel that? And now from the upper golden ball, I want you to drop a four-sided pyramid, a golden radiant pyramid. And it's going to be about waist height with the points about 20 feet out from the body. And now upside down and meeting it point for point is another four-sided golden pyramid. It's the top point, because it's upside down, it'll be the bottom point, touches the golden ball below. So when those two pyramids touch each other, you have an eight-sided figure called an octahedron. And with your octahedron as your structure, I'd like you to create a crystal ball The outside edges of the ball touch the inside edges of the structure. And inside of that, there you are, and you're in a wonderful crystalline disc. And now whilst you're in that disc, spin and spin and spin. So you're in a structure, which is an octahedron, and a beautiful crystalline ball, and now you're in a crystal disc. And you're spinning and spinning and spinning. And as you spin, see in front of you a great crystal grid. Now, this is a magical grid, and I like you to see yourself in many different little movies. The first one is all about you. I like to see myself as a multidimensional character in that. What does it mean to be multidimensional? That's a whole other discussion, isn't it? So I see myself as being able to see through time and space and dimensions and shift and live in a higher frequency, change the energy, change the reality, live in a higher frequency reality. And you know, when you do that, you can actually feel what it's like to be kind of flexible on that level. And I wrap that in light, and let's move to the next one. And that's a movie of something that you yourself want to create. It's a project, and it can be a home and family. It can be partnership. It can be a book, a movie, whatever it is that you yourself would really like to create. And now whilst you're in that movie, you actually get into it. Feel what it's like to have the resources come to you and flow to you. Feel what it's like to have the support. Feel what it's like to have the enthusiasm of people around you and the love. Talk about creating our identity. This is a very good movie to really feel what it's like to choose people's response to you as well. Because I like to feel them being very pleased for me and excited and prepared to share their own gifts to help me with this project, so that everybody is amplified. Good. Now see that happening and wrap yourself in light. Wrap the whole project in light. And now the final one is to call in that amazing galactic healing center. Now what is in the center? It's really, I see it as having a table or a chair. I see light around it. I don't see any kind of specific physical details. So we're going to call in our healing team to surround the table or the healing chair, your choice. And who's in your healing team? Good. And the healing team gathers around, and I want you to lie down on the bed or sit on the table or sit on the chair. Yeah. And if you've got an issue, bring that forward, something that you want healed. Otherwise, just lie there or sit there and ask them what kind of healing you could use. Yes. Now, you know what? Sometimes I was talking to somebody about this today. Sometimes healing is just about being able to release our defenses and really getting deeper and deeper in touch with the true purpose of your life. Sometimes that's about as healing as can be. Yes. And I'm going to lie there and ask for healing on, let's see what I want. I can ask for something kind of lighter today. I'm asking for more flexibility because I'm trying to do yoga regularly. In fact, I do yoga regularly, but I'm not as flexible as I used to be, so I'd really like to have that flexibility, and I'll see what they have to say. So when you ask for whatever it is you want, then ask them, take a look at how they work with you, for starters. And they may be removing things from your body, mind, from your energetic body, or they may be putting stuff back in. That's right. And now ask them if they have any advice for you. What kind of advice do they have? Okay. And laugh at the advice. Sometimes it's very funny because they're telling me I need movement, but it's hard for me to stay still anyway. So, gosh, I don't want to drive everybody crazy. Okay. So they're also telling me that I need to bring through from the higher dimensions an ability to recreate my physical. So we'll talk about that again, I'm sure. So what are they telling you about yourself? All right. And then I'm wrapping this whole scenario with me and the healing team and sending it to the side. And then the healing team replicates itself because they're very magical. And then we have another setup, another healing table or chair. And now we're putting someone in there who needs some help. And I'm working today with a woman who's a really wonderful soul. And she's having chemotherapy and feels really dreadful with a lot of pain. So we're asking the healing team if they, first of all, if they will help with her. Yeah. And I'm asking what they would do with her. Mm-hmm. And it seems like, and are you busy getting your little client there too? It seems like they're raising the fields and frequencies through her body, moving through the base chakra. Yes. And there's a great deal of vibrational energy moving through her body. It seems like she's lightening up, and we're seeing and feeling that energy touch all parts of her body, mostly into the joints, and into the temporal lobes of her brain, which is what runs the body pain in the first place. Now let's wrap that in light and send that one along for that to be also to send it along so that that will be amplified or increased whilst we go on to the next thing. And now we'll have the healing team around in the third room. And in this one we ask who wants to come in. And again, I get a young man that I don't think I know. It's kind of interesting to me. I don't know who he is. He's having very severe abdominal problems. Okay, and I'm asking what they will do for him. Now we're doing a... I see. This is very interesting. They seem to have this kind of like vacuum kind of apparatus, and they're pulling out of his second chakra, the belly area, a lot of dark information which he has come from. And as they pull it out, it shows many, many pictures from past experiences, probably not this life. And yet he's a young boy. Yes, and they're pulling it out and pulling it out and pulling it out. And much like we do in our healing work, they're filling him with light. Absolutely flooding his body with light. Excellent. And I'm asking if there's anything that we can do to help him. And they're saying send light. He's going to take quite a while, apparently, to absorb it all. And then we'll move it on. And now we do our political one. Let's bring in a political scenario and ask the team for help. What would you like to see politically on your planet at this time? Now, one thing the guides keep saying is let's send prayers for Mr. Obama because he's doing some really great things, but he needs some help. He needs some support because where he runs out of life, that's where he runs out of light. That's the problem. Now, he never runs out of light. But again, we go back to identity. And what happens when people see us a certain way? We can get our fervors dampened. We can feel smaller. We can feel less powerful. We can feel less invigorated, right? So let's look at Mr. Obama, all of us. Let's look at him and send him light and send him appreciation and send him Godspeed and send him wings that he can bring through huge changes on the planet and not get dampened by the vested interests of beings all around him, powerful beings all around him. And let's send from our hearts a bright pink, a fuchsia pink light out to the trouble spots on our planet, to Korea, to Iran, a lot happening in Iran right now. Let's just send more pink light, more light of understanding, harmony. Let's see them able to extricate themselves from the dominance. Let's go back to North Korea and send light to the leader in North Korea. And then we're going to send light all across to different places that you know about that are hot spots, where there's power issues and control issues. And then let's just cover the whole planet with this amazing vibrational impact. Raise the frequency, change the reality. Okay, good. And then take that pink light, just swaddle the entire earth. And when the earth is just glowing with pink, let the pink ribbon of light move back through your heart, through your chest, and fill yourself with the light of harmony. Because as we see others, we have a huge impact on reality. So now let's close off the healing room and say thank you so much for the team. Take a look. Who is your team? Yeah, and close it off. And now I want you to jump into your spinning disc and spin and spin and spin and spin in your disc. Excellent. And then come back into the room. And my name is Veronica Entwistle. As a lot of you know, I'm an intuitive and an energy counselor, and I'm often amazed that healing, you know, with my guides and angels, I've learned to do healing with energy, with vibration. But often healing is increased when you're seen and known for who you are. And what I would really like you to call in about today, and you can call in about anything you want, but what I'd like you to call in about today is what's going on with you and what is it you believe about yourself and how can we change some of your beliefs about yourself, or how can we release you from the attachment to some of the beliefs about yourself, like I am what? I'm beautiful, I'm fat, I'm rich, I'm poor, I'm single, I'm alone, I'm always the last one. Think about all the different things. I want you to drop into yourself and see how it is that you identify yourself in your journey in this lifetime. How is it? What is it that is about you? So what I'm seeing is someone who's very, very frustrated. I think it's a young man. I can't tell if you're a man or a woman, but that's not because you're not sexy and beautiful. It's because there's an energy body projection here of someone who's pent up with a lot of really incredible frustration and anger and truly believes that he is this kind of person that nobody really cares to know because the world doesn't understand and the world doesn't. So this person is kind of aligning with being, we'd call it a victim, you see. They're aligning with being a victim. And what I see is that the energy body in this person is pent up, like it's really puffy and quite, I would say, solid. So the problem with that is what you're radiating out into the world is a very strong vibrance of, you guys don't really understand me, and I'm mad about the way life is going. I can see it's blocking his heart. Now, underneath that, there is someone whose heart is actually very sentimental and very, very sensitive and really optimistic. But he has learned his identity is that he cannot be optimistic because that's really stupid. That means he's not thinking things through, and he's already been through heaven. He's already been through a whole lot in his, I would say, 20s. I think he's near the end of his 20s. And I think he has a lot of stomach aches as well. And I'm going, you know what? This guy is really interesting because a lot of what he suffers from is based on his resistance to being taken by, for example, enthusiasm or love or the freedom to love. And when we say that, another thing occurs is that I should do an exercise on him first. But in any case, I just want to say this. that the divine pulse of our soul is like the grass that cracks the sidewalk. I've already said that. But there's a flow of divinity that comes through us and carries our gifts, if that makes sense to you. Now, the way this fellow has, and I just want to give him a big hug, because the way he's designed his defense and his resistances to being taken advantage of, resistances to being vulnerable and so on, have really given him a lot of body discomfort. Forgive me for being so personal, sir. However, it feels like you have a lot of constipation and a lot of a burning solar plexus. Now, the solar plexus, as you know, that's the third chakra. It's all about me, my power, who I am. And it's burning in him. And I see fire in him and the fire of anger. So call in. Let's do some energy work on you. And so for everybody at home, if that kind of thing, or if you can relate even to a soupçon, a little suspicion of that kind of defensive reaction, let's all wrap ourselves in light right now. Wrap yourselves in light. Good work. And then let's call up in our body all the energy that comes from kind of a resistance to the way reality is going, because it's just wrong. All that resistance in your body. Somebody's got it right across the chest. Somebody's got it in the frontal lobe. Somebody's got it in your nose. It's really cute. Somebody's got it in the lower legs. The whole lower legs are kind of weird, like more the shins instead of the whole leg, actually. And there's some really odd ones, like the arms, the way the arms are, the way the arms pivot in the socket. I want you to exaggerate that and exaggerate that and exaggerate that. And let's call forth the presence of our guides and angels and ask for help as we command total release of that energy now. Total release. Because I'll tell you, yeah, how do you feel? Do you feel a little better? I'll tell you, my friend, the young gentleman, you're going to feel physically way better if you can just look at, if you can just become aware of this defensive stand that you're taking, mostly energetically, and check out how it imposes itself on your body. You're going to begin to feel better and freer and better and freer, almost like you've just crawled out of a plastic bag, which in essence you have. All right, so that's one of you. Why don't you call in, you guys? I'm in my daughter's house, and I don't have my book here. I'd give you the numbers. Well, maybe I will find my book. All right, I'm going to give you the numbers, and I'm going to expect you to call in with your questions today. Now, remember, our subject today is all about our identity and what is going on with your identity. Here's the number. It's 888-810-8322, 888-810-8322. So let's do another little exercise on going inside and really finding out how you do identify yourself. Remember the old line when somebody's being an old-fashioned authority in the old paradigm? Who do you think you are? And then what happens to you? Just do that for fun with me. Who do you think you are? What happens in your body? Does your body tighten up? Does your chin lift? Do you feel kind of odd defenses in your body? It's Aravinda, who's been on the show several times and who I really admire, talks about how our defenses and resistances prevent enlightenment. And then, as you all know, what is enlightenment? Enlightenment is something that we all, at some intrinsic level, search. But as long as we're in defense, guess what? We block it ourselves. We block the energy flow of the divine pulse because we're busy confining ourselves in things that are reproducible, right? So are you being reproducible? So let's go back in and take a look at your identity. And I was teasing you and saying, okay, who do you think you are? And you know what happened to me is my chin raised and went way up, and I was holding a tension there. That's kind of interesting. Who do you think you are? That's right. And a whole bunch of you get some really strange reactions. There's some sort of interesting angers. A lot of you have sort of gut and pain reactions. Very interesting. What's happening with you? Okay, so let's call in the guides and angels again, ask for help. And from your higher self, remember, when you do this kind of work, you always want to call in the presence and ask for help from a much higher level, because we are multidimensional beings. Now let's ask for help as we command total release of that response, because that isn't who you are. Who do you think you are? Well, maybe that's a good question anyway. Who do we think we are is definitely not who we really are, is it? Now let's see how... What did we hear? Aravinda says that, and I'm not always quoting him, but I've just been listening to some of his CDs, some of which were from interviews, you know. And he talks about just about all of our illnesses come from our struggle to really be... to really identify ourselves with something. And that many of our defenses are really because we're trying to defend what we think we are. And as he, and I just heard this on the car when I was driving down listening to him. And as he said, is that when we lose that attachment to our identity, very often people will kill themselves, or they don't, they're so disoriented they don't know who they are. Which means this whole identity thing is really serious. And the bottom line of this is that we're not necessarily who we are acting like being. Like, if I say to you, I'm an intuitive, okay, I'm an intuitive. I'm an older woman. I'll give you a whole bunch of these. I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. You know, what are other things people use? They have a certain kind of economic level and so on. Who are you? So what happens way down deep inside of you? Is that really who you are? Are you a movie star? Are you a successful corporate person? Are you a massage therapist or a healer extraordinaire? What are you? What labels do you put on yourself? And let's just sit in those labels and ask if that's what you are. As the systems crash and burn these days, because they really are, economic systems are changing, and we hear that the patterns of the human consciousness are changing radically as well, our identities are going to rattle around and shift too. Especially if, for example, if the economic crash is thorough enough, our adherents are sticking to it for the sake of being, in quotes, a success, is not going to work, because the way the system has gone is going to be in shambles in a lot of ways. So let's take a look at who you really are. Are you the fellow that's been laid off? Are you the one who lost your house and it was your retirement? Linda Sherman is a wonderful astrologer, talks about how, and now you can argue with me about this, okay, how... as the systems come apart, it's going to be harder for particularly older men to deal with that, because they've constructed their identities diligently on a system that is no longer going to work. So perhaps they're 70 years old, their retirement has fallen apart, and they haven't spent very much time digging into who they really are. They've leaned on the system to tell them who they are. And that's a really scary thing. She said something rather mirthful, which I enjoyed a lot, which was, we women have been exploring a million things, and we've had more identities than we could even imagine. And so it's going to be a little bit easier for us to bounce our identity around, to doff this identity cap and that one, and that we should look at it in a kind of a loving way, where we can really hold each other's hands and move ourselves forward together, and realize that the men, when they're crashing and burning, have to go through what's known in the spiritual path as initiation, which means it's the time where none of the systems work. And at that point, and some of you are going through this emotionally because of different phases in your life, And at the point where you're in an initiation, it's really interesting, is that there's very little that you can define yourself with, except through perhaps loss. So an initiation would show you that. Let me see. I'll tell you about mine. My big one that turned me into a psychic or an intuitive was when my first husband died, and I was very shaken up by the whole thing. And we had a daughter who was very troubled, and we got her 5 or 6, and she was already emotionally very disturbed, and eventually I had to give her up as well. And I had also, this is the interesting part for me, is I had lived most of my life hiding my intuitive stuff and really trying to live a life that I thought would work so that I could be inside as strange and different as I wanted to be, but on the outside I would make things come together. Well, guess what? Nothing was going to work for me. So I was in a really bizarre, floundering time, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And the only route out of it was for me to do meditation, walking, breathing, studying, self-studying, healing, learning, but all the learning, and this is what's interesting to me, and I see this in clients as well, all of the learning and studying I did had to be in reference to who I am and who I was. It had to be in vibrational integrity with who I am. So I would learn things, and I would study things, and then I would hold myself vibrationally in attunement with them. Did they work for me or didn't they? And I sort of laughed at that point in my life, which went on for a few years. I read and listened to tapes and so on, but I would kind of throw them over my shoulder like a banana peel, is what I said. I feel like a monkey with a bunch of bananas, and when I finished a banana, I throw the peel over my shoulder, because there were a lot of books and things that I could not adhere to. It was really interesting. So my initiation was being, it's like everything was ripped away so that I would find a deeper level of truth with myself. And the stuff I wasn't willing to play with, like the visions that I was having and so on, that I was going to avoid those, like the plague, those things were the only things I could use as, I won't say life rafts, I would say more like inner guidance and direction than anything I had used so far. And that is an initiation, and there was no way out of it. It was incredible. There were buzzing in my head, and my body was in pain. And I get this with clients. They're going, what's wrong? What am I doing wrong? And yet, and I watch several of you out there. The bottom line is you've got to be in that center of self, in the truth of self, and then what we're doing is releasing all the various identities that we've held on to for dear life. Because, and we do hold on to them for dear life. We hold on to them with absolute kind of fear-based fervor that if I don't hang on, I will have no place in this world, especially if you know that your inner impulses are really different. Like you're a school teacher, but what you want to be is a, what, movie star, I don't know, an actor or something, and you don't do what comes up for you, you're a corporate executive and you do it for the money, but what you really want to be is an artist. At some point, there has to be a meeting of what's inside of you and what's your dharma. What is dharma is the purpose of your soul journey. So initiation is not necessarily fun. But as Rowena Kreider, who's my paradigm shifter at 5 o'clock, reminded me the last time we talked, I think, was that she doesn't say it on today's pre-record. It's a wonderful interview, incidentally. But what she said was, you got to follow your bliss. That all of this is about whether or not you're on your soul journey. Are you in the purpose of your own journey? And that sometimes following your bliss can mean anguish. So back to the initiation thing. I remember also when I was a tiny child, like where do you find out what your soul journey is? And what is your true identity? Your true identity doesn't come from other people's point of view. Normally, because other people will project onto you what they want you to be. So so that you can fulfill maybe the family dynamic or their need and so on. But I remember when I was little, my dad had gone to university. My dad was going to university on the GI Bill, and he was in the Second World War. So there we were at home, and it was a kind of a rambunctious time because there were a lot of us kids, and Mom was very overwhelmed and kind of nervous and so on. And it was kind of chaotic, you know, very emotional. And I remember sitting there, I mustn't have been more than three or so, I remember thinking things like, maybe I was four, no, I was pretty little. I know that I was never born and I never died. And it was this really deep place inside that didn't look like I looked. It was just this really deep, velvety flow. It kind of had a little sparkle to it, but it was really old. It was like I could step back from the reality we were in. Well, what does that tell me? You know, and I'd say to myself, well, why don't they ever talk about it? Everybody's so upset. Why don't they ever talk about that? And if I tried, I probably did, because I probably talked way before I know I talked before I walked and so on. But I tried to talk about these things, and it just sort of scared my mother. What is this little child talking about? But now that I'm 100 years old, I go, wow, this is what I'm trying to learn to live into right now, is that deep inner flow, that wonderful wisdom that's carrying us through amazing, amazing circumstances on this planet. Not only me, not only you, but collectively there's one as well. And then I marvel. I go, golly, that's that part of me that was really awake when I was small. And it's taken me this number of years to actually bring that forward so that I can live that fully into my life. And I'm not there yet, but going back to initiation, I believe that when our lives come apart hugely, I know several of you out there are going through really huge crises. When life comes apart that thoroughly, I think we find that that's where we begin to find what's really true about us. Or that's where we give up, you know. Some people just give up, and I don't recommend that. So I don't know if anybody's going to call in. It's 888-810-8322. I'd love to chat with you. So let's see, where were we going? We're going with identity. My identity and your identity can be placed upon us. So if everybody around you expects you to be a scholar, and you're an artist, you could feel guilty as an artist. You can have in your identity a real self-effacing quality. Do you understand that? Let me see what's going on out there. And some people who are producing wondrous things are very often, not very often, but sometimes can be really, really sad and really miserable inside, but they don't appear to be. And part of that is because what they're presenting to the world is not the truth of who they are, but what they think they need to do to keep life, I suppose, paying them or to keep themselves. What kind of terms do we hear? We keep ourselves above water. We're staying floating and we're staying alive on the planet and all of that. But what if, When we weren't happy, but we were, in quotes, successful, what would happen if we stopped being identified with very attached to what we were presenting into the external world? What would happen? Would we back up and would everything just be destroyed? I don't think so. I think that it's really important if you've got a gap between what you're presenting and how you're feeling, and the gap would present itself in emotions. If you have that huge gap, what would it be if you stopped whatever you're doing? I mean, just stopped on a regular basis and asked your inner self to present itself. Why am I unhappy? What did I hear the other day? That we have a deep, deep will. Well, I guess I'm calling it the divine part of our soul, the drives in there. If we have that will, and then simultaneously we have awareness, meaning you're still inside and you've got your will, but you stop regularly and become aware of both, well, of everything, of what you're doing, of what the world is asking of you, of what your deeper fears and the structure of your panic or your stress is. If you drop in and feel those things, what would happen then? My understanding is that we would become more, and the encouragement here is the guides are saying, write that down. You bring it forward, you have some understanding, and then you write it out. And you start talking to yourself about how you really feel. It doesn't matter if you go back out and maintain your success level. But it's really important to go in and find out why you're having emotional gaps, the gap between feeling great about your success. You know what I mean? When people are feeling very sad, but they present a really successful picture. Let me see what other things. Oh, there's a lot of people out there that are seeing one of you in particular that are really afraid of your own talent. And I'll tell you something, that's something I recognize immediately. I had a talent as a small person, and I was scared of it. Why was I scared of it? Because people are afraid of you. If you can see things and hear things and you see right through people, you think they love it when you're 3 years old or 4 years old? No. Depends. If you come from a long line of people like that, or you come from an enlightenment consciousness lineage, which I certainly didn't do that. So here I'm seeing someone out there, and I see this person having a tremendous ability to, I believe it's right. This person has a really very creative and strange idea about what it was what it is that she wants to present. But what she does is she holds herself back. And what she tries to do is what she thinks is going to work. And somehow, she doesn't want to have anybody know what's deep inside of her. She's really terrified that people are going to know who she is. And it's fascinating to me because I watch. Now, part of the problem with this is, this person is creating an illness, a huge physical problem from, it's like there's a, I don't want to do a diagnosis, but it's like under the rib cage and moving right back like a curve, like a concave effect that goes right down to just below the navel. And there's a huge problem in that person. And I want to say that that tension, you know how you've heard this thing about cancer, for example, that it has a lot to do with the suppression of self, has a lot to do with the suppression of emotions and reactions and all of that kind of stuff. Well, I'm not saying this person's going to get cancer, but I am saying that that's a kind of a profile for certain kinds of illnesses. And this person definitely has that kind of profile going on. And if I were to be a psychic, which you know I am, I would say that she's going to develop incredible stomach problems. And what it is she's trying to do is conceal, it's funny, it's like concealing her greater gifts is going to cost her body. But I see her collapsing, I see her being very ill, I see her being flat on her back. But the interesting thing is, shortly thereafter, I see her rising and becoming more, and I see people helping her. Somebody helps her get on her feet, and slowly she moves her way back in. And people are going to help her express the truth of who she is, which is going to come out in the form of some kind of interesting books. Not actually big books. I don't think they're comic books, but they have that little look. And I'm smart enough as a psychic to say, don't define it, because they can change that around. But what I want to say about this woman is that if she deals with the gap between how she's presenting her life, and she also has anxiety attacks, okay? how she is presenting her life and where she's withholding or defending the way she's presenting her life. She's defending her identity at the cost of her ability to go forward as who she is. And remember this, you're the only one in the universe with your job. So if this is true, ladies and gentlemen, she can back up and actually go into her body now. I want all of you to do this again. Wrap yourselves in light and drop into your body and ask to see where you conceal those stresses and tensions that can lead you into, what are they? They're stresses and tensions that come from your defending yourself and your identity in the world. Ask yourself to feel where you hold your stresses and tensions. I don't know if she heard me, but this person has released a lot of her gastrointestinal even as we talked. Because sometimes, I'll tell you this, sometimes all you need to do is look and say, oh, I'm holding them right on my sternum area. I'm holding them right in my kidneys. I'm holding them right in my lungs. I can feel it. My lungs are going, just get right in there and feel it. Just feel it. Love yourself enough to feel where it is you're putting these tensions and why. When you get in there and go, oh, I'm putting it in my lungs. Why? Because that's my receptacle. That's the way my family stored it, probably. That's the way my genetics did. But also the other thing is, what does lungs mean? It's aspiration, it's creation, it's courage, what, inspiration. What are lungs? And they hold karmic grief, ancient grief as well. And remember, every part of your body holds some deep emotional, what would we call it? It's like you're a library, and deep emotional reactions are stuffed away in various parts of your body. So if you've got it in the lungs, pay attention to your courage, inspiration, and expression, and release of grief. Grief is always a really amazing, amazing emotional reaction, very multifaceted. But it's the reason we write the book, Dance the Dance, Take a Bigger Chance on Who We Are. It teaches us that kind of life is short. It turns us around in a huge way. It isn't always physical illness that does that. Grief will very often do it. So let's go back to the person who's doing gastrointestinal support of her hiding places for her reactions. And the gastrointestinal is, of course, our way of digesting life, our sense of ourselves. It's very much like we were talking about with our identity. Other people's attitudes to us can shape who we are. And in the belly, our reaction to all influences, even through other lifetimes, can really create who we are. But sometimes when we get with that and we transform that, we're the product of having had all these experiences. So with my friend who was sucking her belly way in, she's now probably gurgling, and she might even be burping right now because a lot of action's going on. Because the transformation of paying attention to how you stuff your energies in your body, that transformation is going to give you access to a great deal more of yourselfness if you stay in a point of awareness, right? And some of you, let me just take a look. So I just want to remind you, I'll talk about my next show first, and then we'll do one more thing before I say goodbye. I want to remind you that I'm going to be on with Jackie Salvitti and the team on Thursday night at 8 o'clock here on wonderful BBS Radio. And I'm going to talk to the team about all kinds of things. Jackie's been going through some huge changes, and the team is helping us release ourselves from so many trapped reactions, back to reactions, ways of the collective identifications and so on. And I'm fortunate enough to get to interview them and play with them as they release us from a whole bunch of old experience. And that's Thursday night at 8 o'clock. I don't know who my next week's guest is, but that's okay because I've got a whole bunch of people lined up who are amazing. And they're all taking us through huge changes these days. And so next week's Paradigm Shifters will be that. This week's paradigm shifter is Rowena Kreider, who's just an amazing woman who will take you into your soul's journey, teach you how to go in there, but also talk about her own life. She's a very, very, she's, I think intuitive seems too small for her. She is able to find her presence in rapport with the universe. She takes us through the relevance and the amazing education we get from paying attention to symbols and doing art and doing expression. Just some great ideas on teaching children. That's a wonderful interview, and I know because we did it this morning. Now, I want to do one more exercise before I say goodbye to you. Oh, incidentally, my name is Veronica Entwistle. If you want an intuitive session with me, if you want to learn where you're blocking your energies and work with my guides and angels to shift them, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. There's no H in Entwistle. Or if you want to have some feedback on these shows, or if you have some suggestions for guests for Paradigm Shifters, or you just want to say hello, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. Our final thing, I'm not even sure what time it is. I don't know if anybody can hear me and can tell me what the time is. I think we're almost done here. So let me see. One of the things I want to say before I end up is I want you to all drop in for a minute and just see if you can connect to who you really are. Now that might show up in light, it might show up in feeling. Who are you really? Okay. And now I want you to take a minute and say, thank you very much for being there. Thank you for being me. And now what we're going to do is ask for help from the guides and angels, and we're going to bring in beautiful spiraling lights. I'm seeing gold and platinum lights, and have those lights move down and wrap around us, spiral round and round and round and round us, all the way to the ground, and then pop back up through the perineum, which is the flesh at the bottom of the torso, and scour your entire beingness. And you know what that does is it lifts the frequency of a lot of these identification patterns. It moves it up through your body and gives you a chance to be really true to yourself. All right. So I think it's time for me to say goodbye. I'm not exactly sure, but I think so. And this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you very much for listening to the shows and many, many blessings to all of you. Remember, take some love. The universe is absolutely full of love. And trust that being who you really are is absolutely supported by the universe. So let's all feel the love of the universe and feel cosseted by it, cradled by it, nurtured by it, and then have it flow through us and send blessings one to the other. And I'll see you next week. Goodbye.